Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking to Syracuse's first commit in the 2024 class and a come-from-behind win over Boston College. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brad Bierman, and our guest today is 2024 Syracuse commit, Syer Torrence. Syer, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Of course, I'm happy to be on it.
And Syer, we'll get you started on this one. You committed to Syracuse in November. It's Syracuse's first commitment in the 2024 class. What made you decide to pick the Orange?
Just the trust that I built with the coaches. And, like, why not Syracuse is the real question. I wanted to put the city on the map. I wanted to show everybody who I am, what I could be, how I could improve the city in general. Because we're not really a football city or a football state. I just want to show everybody the difference.
So you touched on Syracuse being more of a basketball town. As most people know, your older brother, Samir, plays on the basketball team. Did that play a role in it at all?
No, I was just kind of making my own decision. Obviously, my brother wanted me to come and play on Syracuse and stay home, but he just told me, whatever you do, just make your own decision. Whatever fit right with you, just do it.
Take me through the scene when you told the coaching staff you were committing. They must have been really happy when you told them the news.
I was on the phone with Dino, and I showed him a rubber band. It said "commit to Cuse," and I was like, "I'm ready to commit." He didn't get the hint at the time. He was like, "Okay, so whenever you're ready to commit, you let me." And I was like, "Coach, I'm ready to commit now." And then he was just happy. He was just happy and gave me the phone to all the coaches that some of the coaches staff.
Syer, you were originally offered as an athlete at CBA. You play both wide receiver and defensive back. Have you talked to the coaches more about whether you play offense or defense?
Nah, they don't care where I play. I just want to be on the field and, like, whatever help the team win, that's the type of player I am. I just want to win.
Syer, for those Syracuse fans who haven't seen you play at CBA, what player do you most resemble at the college or pro level?
To be honest, I don't think no one could do what I could do. I feel like I'm a different person. I feel like I'm one of one. I feel like that the humbleness and the dog in me that I got from my brother and my parents, I feel like I'm not compared to anyone. I'm just a different breed.
Yeah, and on that point, Coach Brown, your head coach at CVA, raves about your leadership qualities. Tell us how that's evolved over time now that you're an upperclassman.
I learned that from this year. I had to be more of a vocal leader than just a point, like, on the field leader, because this team now, they need someone to spark them and, like, talk to them and to encourage them, to push them. And I felt like I had to play a big role in that. Even if we down or, like, up, I had to make sure the sideline up, get an energy right, make sure that the defense is good, make sure that the O-line stay in positive, not blaming each other or nothing like that, staying negative. Even if we make a bad mistake, I'm just come to the player. I'm just next play. What Coach Brown said, we always say, Charlie Mike, just next play, next down.
Sayer, you had a great season at CBA. CBA had a great season making it to the sectional finals at the JMA Wireless Dome. What were some of the highlights for you and your team?
Some of the highlights I had was probably just making it to the sectional, to the dome again. That's really my favorite highlight, just making it to the dome, being there, part of with my team, just having fun, even with that L. But, like, I told the team, this is not really an L, this is just a lesson. We're going to be back next year. That's all that matters.
Sayer, let's go back to the Syracuse coaching staff. You mentioned you committed with Coach Bapers before. Who are some of the other coaches on the staff you speak with the most?
I spoke with Tony White, the defense coordinator. He likes me. He said he likes me at safety or corner. It don't matter. He's told me whenever the defense on the field, he want them to play. He want them to have fun out there. He's not the one that's controlling them or telling them what, like, he's just calling the plays. He's want them to have fun and be dogs up there. That's one coach that I like. I can't say the offensive coordinator name. I will not say it. I'm gonna learn it one day. But I talked to him. He a good dude. I like him too. He likes me at hybrid or in the slot for offense. I like him too. The wide receiver coach, he's cool. I talked to him too. When I was on the phone with Dino when I committed. They all good coaching staff. And the cornerback coach. I forgot his name too. I'm gonna learn all these coaches' names by the end of the week and make sure I know about heart. But I like the coaching staff. They all got love for me. I got love for them. They all trust me. I'm going to trust them too.
So you visit a lot of games at the Dome this year. What did you like most about attending those games?
I just like the atmosphere from the fans. That's the fans just get, whenever it's down or like it's a third down, the fans get loud. That's what I like about the Dome. I just want to be a part of that atmosphere and making a good big play on it.
And Sayer, we'll get you out of here on this one. What are you looking most forward to when you arrive at Syracuse in the fall of 2024?
Right now, I'm leaning to the offensive side because I feel like they need one more playmaker. I feel like I'm that playmaker that they need. I feel like they need one more missing piece, and that's me.
Sayer, thanks so much for coming on the program again. Syracuse Christian Brothers Academy star and 2024 Syracuse commit, Sayer Torrance. Sayer, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck to you with the rest of your high school career and, of course, with Syracuse, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Of course.
Sayer Torrance is going to be a star at Syracuse, I think. Great to have him on the program. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing well, Wes. Thank you.
Brad, Syracuse with a dramatic 32-23 win over Boston College to wrap up the regular season on Saturday. The Orange scored 26 straight in the fourth quarter as they finished 7-5 on the season. What were your takeaways from the game?
Well, in the end, I thought it was great to end that five-game losing streak, certainly, and get the W. Great way to end the season on an up note. Coach Mack used to always tell me, Wes, you know, it's hard to win football games. You put a lot of effort in a week leading up to a game to win a game. And when you're in a conference like the ACC, where most of the teams are bunched together, and then you get into a rivalry game as the games against Pittsburgh and BC each year, you got to win those. And after a lackluster first half performance, it was just great to see the team erupt on both sides of the ball in the second half, the defense really active, causing turnovers, and then the offense getting in gear with scoring points, which is something that had been a problem in the five-game losing streak. So the downside, of course, though, is the penalties continued, and it's been not just a season-long trend, Wes, for this year's team, but program-wise under Dino Babers. You and I sound like, or certainly I sound like, you know, a broken record in talking about penalties in games that, you know, Syracuse has so many self-inflicted wounds that really hurts. And they overcame the 14 penalties in this case. And a couple of them are just, again, I've always said, I'm the head coach and a lack of discipline. I get it about celebrating in today's world, and everyone wants to be in the spotlight after making a great play on a field or a basketball court, but you got to be sensible about it. And, you know, the excessive celebration penalty, you know, hurt Syracuse in scoring more points in the game after making, you know, a great defensive play. So you hate to see those kind of things. And the end of the game, you know, again, kids are going to celebrate, especially beating a rival. And there's classy ways to do celebration. You know, I get it. You know, you want to be on the field. You want to be in the spotlight, as I said. But, you know, this is the kind of situation in college football. Make your way over to your fans' contingent in the stands, even at road games, and celebrate with them. After all, they made the effort to come out and root you on, and you want to celebrate. You want to be happy and in the moment, and there's ways to do that as well. But overall, anytime you bookend a season with victories, Louisville in the opener, Boston College in the regular season finale, to me it marks a great season with a winning record.
Brad, you touched on this talking about a great season with a winning record, but Syracuse started 6-0. They raised expectations significantly. They were the number 14 team in the country, and then they lost five straight, barely finished with a winning record. Does this still resemble a good season to you?
Well, personally, I do. I went back and looked at my preseason predictions. I had 7-5 and 4-4 in the ACC, so it met my predictions. And so, you know, I think looking at it from that standpoint, seven victories. Now, to your point, it was kind of unbalanced, of course, right? We might not have been really realistically expecting first six wins and then to lose five in a row, but you kind of got worried as you saw the injuries mount up and the competition really stiff each week in that stretch when they played NC State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Florida State. So, you know, I think so. I mean, I missed four of the 12 games where I thought either Syracuse would lose and they won, or I thought they would win and they lose. So it was pretty close. And I do think it's a success because they did end with a victory. It just would have been a total disaster to go 6-0 and then 0-6. But coming up with a way to gut that win out in the second half against a team that you should have beaten, that didn't have as much talent as you did, and against a rivalry team, did show something, you know, overcoming injuries, overcoming poor play in you know, the worst loss of the season at Florida State, and then coming back to get that win to kind of cement, you know, one extra step from just the minimum six wins for bowl eligibility.
And Brad, we're at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
So I'd like to talk about the bowl game, Wes, and a lot of conjecture, and certainly, you know, you've written about it as well, you know, points Syracuse to playing in the Fenway Bowl for the first game in that bowl history because of COVID. But I don't think that's going to be the case, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, the school has requested from the ACC not to play in the game because final exams are the week leading up to December 17th. So that makes a lot of sense. It would be really hard to prepare for a bowl game having to have – the players' minds on, you know, finishing their final exams and getting all those academic things in order. Now, on the other hand, Wake Forest has its final exams the week before that. So I really think Wake Forest is a better bet as the ACC does the bowl pairings to play in the Fenway Bowl than Syracuse. Also, Wake hosted Boston College this year, where, of course, Syracuse played already in Boston. So I'm really kind of focusing on two bowls, the Pinstripe or the Birmingham Bowl, as the other tie-ins for Syracuse, because they're part of the Tier 2 bowls along with the Military Bowl, and that's where Syracuse is going to settle. Military, Pinstripe, Birmingham, Fenway. And I really am zooming in on the Birmingham Bowl, and I'll tell you why. It's against an SEC opponent, most likely, projected to be Missouri. You're playing in a recently constructed stadium in Birmingham, kind of extensive brand out of the Northeast. And I'll tell you, Wes, it's a heck of a lot warmer, most likely, in Birmingham in December than it would be playing in Boston or the Pinstripe Bowl in New York. So I'd like to see Syracuse play a Power 5 conference opponent in a different sort of bowl game that they've, you know, not played in before. They've been to the Pinstripe twice, albeit not in a decade. But I'd really like to see Syracuse get a different sort of bowl down south, a little bit warmer, a little bit more close geographically to some of the recruiting areas. Atlanta's only 2 hours away, Florida not far for the bowl game destination.
Brad, my closing thoughts, stay with football. Eight Orange players were named to the All-ACC teams announced on Tuesday, with Aronde Gaddesdon earning first-team All-ACC honors at tight end. Gaddesdon, just a true sophomore, finished the season with 56 receptions and 891 receiving yards. Other players to receive recognition include Sean Tucker, Matt Bergeron, Michael Jones, Marlo Wax, Garrett Williams, Jahad Carter, and Deuce Chestnut. Congratulations to all eight of them as Syracuse looks toward the postseason. That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Cheng reminding you that I have a time machine at home. It only goes forward at regular speed. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users. Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.